This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Thanks for being here this afternoon. We're going to talk about the Bureau of Land Management and an opportunity for some public input. Michael Korn is the Swiftwater Field Manager. Shane Rosbach, the Assistant Field Manager. Guys, thanks for coming in this afternoon.
Thanks for having us, Kyle.
So I guess, first of all, Michael, let's start with you and talk about what your role is at the BLMM.
So as a field manager, I oversee the north half of the Roseburg District BLM. Basically, if you take all the BLM lands from the Umpqua River, main Umpqua River, east to the Forest Service boundary north of Roseburg, manage the forestry staff, the recreation staff, which we're here to talk about today, as well as the other resources. So I'm the decision maker on all the actions that do come out of that area.
How long have you been with the BLM, and how long have you been in this area?
I've been with the BLM, I started in about 1999. I was with Forest Service before that in Eastern Oregon and Idaho. And been with BLM in Western Oregon since that time. I worked out of Medford for a while, moved up to Eugene, and then came down to Roseburg, where this is home.
And why do you term that home?
It's a community that I liked. Between the three communities that I lived in, Roseburg's a little bit of that smaller entity that you get that community feel for. And the North Umpqua and the Umpqua River Corridor is just a gorgeous place to be.
Now, Shane, we've heard, or folks have heard from you before, but talk about what your role is.
Yeah, sure. So as the assistant field manager in the field office over recreation, I'm responsible for kind of overseeing everything that's going on within our recreation sites and trails and that whole program. So, of course, with the fire and all that, it's been an interesting few years, the past few years. And I came in just before that. So
right now the agency is developing plans to restore and improve recreation along the North Umpqua River and Rock Creek. When you look at those areas, talk about, I mean, a lot of people, most everybody's been through there, but when you, as a professional, are looking at it, talk about the damage there.
Sure. So, you know, the North Umpqua River Corridor, that's a wild and scenic river. So there's some outstanding natural values that we look at with that. One of those is water quality and quantity, the recreational opportunities along the river. And so, you know, that fire really impacted a lot of that. And so, you know, it's looking at those sites here in the future on where we're going to go with that. And but considerations are, you know, increasing use of our recreation areas. During COVID, we saw an uptick in a lot of people trying to get outside and go hiking and enjoy our public lands. And so really it's trying to manage that use appropriately so we can have those for everyone in the future.
So do you feel like in this sort of post-pandemic phase that interest in being in the outdoors and that kind of recreation has stayed at the level it was during COVID?
I think people, it was an opportunity to kind of to look at things and reorient where they spend their time and get out. And so, yeah, that uptick has continued. We've been seeing that with our numbers we're currently working on for this season and tallying for just use along the river corridor and all that. And it's showing people are still getting out there and still using those lands, even with the impacts that we've had in the past few years with the fire.
How has it changed post-fire? Because, I mean, some areas now, is everything open now?
We don't have any formal closures. We've got sites that still remain closed as far as campgrounds and things like that. But, you know, the lands are still, you know, open for the public to go to in their current state. you know, not all areas, and we preface that with there's a lot of safety concerns out there. The past few years, it's been working on a lot of hazard tree work. There's a lot of infrastructure that's been damaged and everything. So those are the things we're trying to address. So we try to make people aware of those hazards and everything when they go out there. But the public has still continued to use those lands as much as they can in their current condition.
Yeah, so up till now, the focus has been cleaning up the residue from the destroyed infrastructure as well as removal of hazard trees so that it is a little bit safer for activity in those areas. That cleanup process is finishing up to a degree. We'll continue to have that through the years. You know, green trees that were alive after the fire have died since, things like that. But this is that transition into the next step of the recovery part.
And I imagine trying to clean up a recreation, you know, area like that is got some obstacles just in terms of access to things. And, you know, when you find areas that need to be cleaned up, how you get the debris out and all that kind of thing.
Yeah, there's a lot of the past few years, it's been a lot of work. We have actually a contractor that'll be working on trying to remove some of the last material from our Susan Creek campground, fire-related, to try to reduce some fuels in there this winter. But it's been multiple years. Some areas have more sensitivities than others, as far as we can't just go in and have a lot of ground disturbance and everything. So each site kind of has its own unique challenges that we've had to work through in addressing. And so we're kind of getting to the point now where it's kind of seeing the light at the end of the tunnel as far as, you know, that after fire work, and we can actually start, you know, looking forward to, you know, how are we going to redesign these sites for the future? You know, what do we need to do to make them work for the public in the future, for the activities that we're seeing out there, and you know, new and future ways that, you know, access is a big issue, so we're trying to look at addressing that here with the work we're doing. And yeah.
Michael, so, what was it like for you the first time you went up after the fire?
Well, I think it was similar to pretty much everybody in the community. You know, shocking, felt a little bit devastated. Things that have had a lot of investment seen lost. And, you know, it was a big thing was, you know, folks had lost their homes. Things that people have been working on, landowners with resources lost, with the BLM, it was, you know, these were very popular recreation areas that we managed. The heart of our recreation program is on the North Umpqua River. And so it was, you know, hard on all of the staff to see the resources that we've managed over the years, a wild and scenic river corridor that the first thought I had was, you know, here we're managing this wild and scenic river corridor, and now it looks nothing like what we were promoting and managing for. I'm looking at it now as a blip in history with things improving over time, and it'll be something that's educational as things recover.
What about you, Shane, the first time you went up there?
So I was up there the day of, and then through the aftermath afterwards, and it was, you know, you'd have those moments where you go, oh yeah, I remember what this looked like, and now, you know, or see a photo, and it's just jolting, you know, that change. But ultimately, you know, where we're at now, 3 years on, you know, it's a catastrophic event, and that's part of that natural cycle too. So that corridor is, you know, it's beginning to recover, you know, going through the different vegetation stages that we'll see with, you know, early seral habitat and different plant species in there. And we've got new tree seedlings coming up through the corridor. So that cycle will, you know, move forward. And as we redesign these sites and then, you know, the next few years, it'll just continue to, it'll be different than what it was before for certain. But, you know, it's still a beautiful, gorgeous corridor, and we'll still have the public going up there to recreate. So, yeah.
We're going to take a break, come back on the topic, and talk about public input opportunities that are ahead in the next few days. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson at 1, Shannon Sebastian as your cue, and tomorrow we'll talk about thundering water with the new executive director, Sarah Holborough, and Dr. Cordell Smith as well. We're talking about the Bureau of Land Management seeking input from the public on these Roseburg area recreation sites. Michael Korn, the Swiftwater field manager, and Shane Rosbach, assistant field manager over recreation, in here with us today. So what are some of the preliminary proposals that you guys have looked at so far?
So going up the corridor, so this environmental assessment basically will encompass work and looking at all the recreation sites that were impacted by the fire. And some of those areas are at the Swiftwater day use area, the Swiftwater North Trailhead, and what was called Emerald Waters. It's the former Swiftwater County Park. That area we were looking at prior to the fire as a location to maybe put a campground. We're looking at it as developing it out for additional staging, and you know, that's kind of the start of the North Umpqua Trail. We've got that 79-mile trail, and that's the start of it right there. So having one of the issues we've had in the past is having proper staging. So we're looking at that. Further upriver, we got some work around Susan Creek that we're looking at. Looking at expanding a parking lot and maybe adding some additional safety protocols there. We have a lot of traffic that goes back and forth across the highway there. So a lot of the areas we're looking at is trying to address some of those things. At Baker Wayside, which is a day use site up there, I'm looking at seeing if we can add river takeout. We have a lot of public use where you know, folks are coming down river and then they just take out on the bank and then walk across. Looking at putting in some proper takeout at that location, as well as just improving the site. We've had some feedback from the public on making us aware of some different climbing areas and stuff up that way. There's access issues with that, so we're looking at what are some options to maybe address those needs there. And that's what we're really trying to get from the public with this. And we hope that, you know, we've got some public meetings coming up to really get some feedback on this kind of preliminary list on what we've lined out. Because these are things that have come up to our radar as issues to address. But, you know, there's other user groups out there that we may not have heard from, things that we're not aware of. Like the climbing area is one example. There's some climbing locations on BLM that we weren't aware of. We thought it was on private mostly, but there is public climbing going on up there. So those are some areas where, you know, we need to look at addressing those uses and how we're going to manage those. And is there an opportunity to develop a trail? Those sort of things. Up Rock Creek, we've had a lot of stream restoration work going on post-fire up there. Some of the largest stream restoration work that BLM's taken on. And at some of the sites, like the Rock Creek Campground, there's some opportunities to redevelop that a little bit. You know, we're seeing maybe taking that back to maybe more of a tent camping location, but then adding some trailer campsites at Mill Pond as we redevelop up there. So those are, I mean, that's just a small scattering of all the different things talked about in here. So I really encourage the community to look at this. You know, go on and provide comments and give us some feedback and information on it.
So, Michael, how will these open house situations work, and kind of run through the schedule?
So we have three scheduled, one on, and each open house will be kind of in the area where we're going to talk about proposals that we have for the recreation sites in that general area. So the first one is Thursday, October 19th, 9 to 12 o'clock at the Mill Pond Recreation Area. And we'll talk about the activities that we were looking at and identified in our scoping request for that area. The next one, we're doing it 3 days in a row, basically. Friday, October 20th, 9 to 12, and we'll be at the Susan Creek Day Use Area. And we'll be discussing the sites that are at the upper end of the North Umpqua Corridor for BLM ownership. And then Saturday, we'll be at the Swiftwater Trailhead, where Shane had mentioned Emerald Waters. The trailhead there, the North Umpqua Trail, and plans that we have with that. So each one will have an opportunity, if there's a particular interest in, you know, one of those recreation sites, the public can tier, instead of committing 3 days, they can tier their plans to going the day that we'll be addressing the site they're interested in.
And what about if people can't make the meeting? How do they do written comments or connect with you?
So written comments and ideally submission of comments online is our preferred method. But if you go to any search engine, type in BLM North Umpqua Recreation Scoping, and that will get you a link right first at the top. That'll take you to our e-planning website. And on there, there's the full scoping notice, which lines out everything that we've put out so far as considerations at the sites, and a way to comment, and they can submit comments through there. And comments, we're accepting comments during the scoping period through the 27th of November.
So you take all this data in, when is a decision made? How does that all work?
So once we get through scoping, we'll move into, you know, basically looking at the comments and all that that come in, processing those, and then getting into analysis, where our specialists will be looking at what we've put together on the ground and identifying issues with that. So that's our archaeologists, that's our wildlife biologists, our foresters. You know, what are things that that need to be considered with these different proposals. And so that analysis will go through the winter, and then we'll hopefully have a draft EA in the springtime in June.
So, and we'll issue an EA sometime next summer, and the public will have an opportunity to comment on, there'll be various alternatives for what we may or may not do. And they'll have an opportunity to comment on that again. And then at that point, eventually we would issue a decision of, this is what we're going to go forward with for implementation on that. One thing I would like to point out is the public feedback is critical for this. This is, mm-hmm. you know, something for the public. We're developing recreation opportunities for the general public to come and enjoy the North Umpqua. The Roseburg community, Glide community, there's a lot of families that have traditionally gone up there every year and utilize those sites. So a positive with the fire, if you want to look at it that way, is in a sense with what it's done, we sort of have a clean slate that we can build off of in bringing in new things and new opportunities with that as we rebuild and recover from stuff. So.
Yeah.
So that's the big push, is we want to hear from the public on what their needs are, what their uses are, and how we might best go forward with our recovery efforts.
Yeah, and I mean, to put it in even a little more perspective, an analysis like this and working through this, this is a fairly large EA that will encompass work that, you know, we'll be looking at getting funding for and working on over the next decade. So, I mean, it's a fairly substantial, piece of work ahead of us. And this is kind of looking at the whole picture and how do we design it out, and really we want to design it so it meets the needs of the public into the future. So a lot of these sites, ADA accessibility is a
hold that thought because we're out of time, yep. But we've got information at 541radio.com for people to get connected. Guys, thanks for coming in.
Yeah. Thank you, Kyle, very much for having
Douglas
us.
Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues.